You are listening to The Point from MC3 in Lewistown, Pennsylvania. Check us out on the web at mc3church.org or find us on Facebook at mc3church. MC3, it's like nothing you'd expect.
Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy. Fruit salad, yummy, yummy.
Take yummy, 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 yummy
fruit
here,
salad.
Take a box and pass it down. Please get some fruit salad. Dip spoons over there. Dip spoons here. Here, have spoons. Pass them around. Everybody needs to have one. We need to get some fruit salad. There's plenty for everyone. To take one. So get some fruit salad, please. And some spoons should be coming through.
The second step. Toss in some grapes. The third step. Chop up some apples. Chop up some melons.
Go ahead and hit the house right here. You got to see your
now
fruit salad.
It's time to eat.
You know what I need some?
It's so good that you just can't beat it.
Spoons should be coming forward from the back. Everybody get one. Anybody need a fruit salad? It's yummy, yummy.
Very soon. Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. Fruit salad.
Are we going to spoon? Anybody need a spoon?
Spoons.
We need spoons here.
Yummy,
the other section needs spoons.
Yummy,
Justin,
yummy, yummy,
we need spoons
salad.
In here.
Fruit salad. Yummy,
I need a spoon
yummy.
Too. Thank you.
Fruit salad. Yummy, yummy. Fruit salad.
All right, I think we've got, we're almost here. Everybody has some fruit salad and some spoons. Yes? Say yes.
Yes.
All right, thank you. Good. All right, well, we are on week two of this series called Church Club, and we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. But you have fruit salad. And now, time to fess up. Raise your hand if you do not like fruit salad. Uh-huh. All right. Well, just keep in mind that'll break down a little bit later. So, just so you know, this is the church, and you just said you don't like the church that Jesus died for if you were here last week. So, but fruit salad can be yummy, yummy. Now, you know, we were going to have, you know, custom made to order fruit salads here with a collection of multiple fruit. And, for you guys to, you know, get made to order fruit salads, but, you know, we just didn't do that. So, maybe next time, like kids are always told. Who said yay? Oh, lame. All right, well, good. You've got a fruit salad in front of you, and just in case you're wondering what is in your fruit salad, you are welcome to open it and eat it. And I want to tell you about your fruit salad here. Again, this isn't necessarily my favorite either, but just to be clear, there are diced peaches, pears, white grape juice, concentrate, cherries that are artificially colored, but that'll break it down a little bit, and then lemon juice. And natural flavor. I love natural flavor. Like, what the heck? Like, dirt is natural. Like, is that... Thank you for adding some natural flavor. So we've got peaches, pears, grape juice, and cherries. So it's not necessarily the most diverse fruit salad ever, but it's not bad. It's not bad. I mean, come on. It's great value, brand. Give us a break. But I want to talk about fruit salad in a moment here, maybe. And you know, what a fruit salad is, and of course, I don't know, there's a lot of things that are called salad, and does that mean if they're just mixed together, it becomes a salad? Because one of my favorites, Nicole, she's serving right now, pretzel salad. Anybody know what pretzel salad is? You had that? You know, it's Jell-O, strawberries, whipped or cream cheese, and pretzels. That is my kind of salad, okay? But this is, you know, second best. Because when you start adding green things to a salad, it's just like, come on. A salad is good if you have bacon bits, some good croutons, good salad dressing. But that's just my opinion. But here you've got a fruit salad, and we've got these different fruits in here. And some fruits in fruit salad, like honestly, oh, there's my cherry. Wow. Big spender. Cherry? Do you see my cherry? Woohoo! We actually bought the ones with cherries. Cherries, like, they all look pretty and stuff, but cherries are gross. That's just my opinion about cherries, too. I'm all about sharing my opinion. Eventually, we'll talk about the Word of God, which is kind of more important than my opinion. But cherries are kind of gross, but in a fruit salad, they're kind of tasty. And fruit salad, you have all these different fruits, and some of them, and again, there are things that people will put in fruit salad, and if it's mixed together with water and high fructose corn syrup, I'll eat anything. But it makes these individual fruits that wouldn't otherwise be very good pretty tasty. And the fruit salad also, you know, you've got all these different things that are all together, and if you pull them out, like a cherry by itself is just gross. By the way, I can do that thing where you can tie a cherry stem in your mouth into a knot. Just saying, if you're impressed with what that means, then anyway. But by themselves, they're not that good. But if you put them together, all of a sudden, they're good. And I love bananas in a fruit salad. And I love blueberries and strawberries in a fruit salad. I'm a big berry fan. But all of these things together become just really good. In matter of opinion. But by themselves, they're not so good. And the other thing is that, like obscure, like meaningless fruits, like cherries, can get put into a fruit salad and suddenly have value and worth. Sorry, opinion, but who cares? And all of these different things, if you pull them out, they're kind of like, by themselves. You put them together, they're delicious. And if you eat a spoonful of fruit salad and you get a number of fruits, there's all these different flavors in your mouth. And I will even eat, growing up, I hated pineapple. My wife, I mean, Kendra showed me that, if you don't buy it in a can, it's actually kind of tasty. I can't get that. But even in a fruit salad, I would eat pineapple. Because you put these together and there's something special about the mixture. There's something special about it. You put them all together and they're tasty. And I want to tell you today, as we're going through this series, Church Club, the church, as I already said, is like a fruit salad. Because when you bring this thing that is called Jesus Church together, there's all these individual pieces and these individual parts, and some of them are kind of like, well, wow. You maybe don't have that much value, but you bring it together with the church, and not that someone doesn't have value. But I mean, you know, it's just this unique thing where everybody, you know, we come together and make this amazing, tasty creation. And if you pull a part out, that part is missed. I mean, this is a high-end fruit salad. There's three whole fruits in this. And you pull out one or two of those, you kind of lost the salad part. Then it becomes in heavy syrup. Which is the only way, by the way. That light syrup, come on, that's just water. Let's just be honest. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just go and buy a can of fruit in light syrup, eat it, and you're like, this isn't even fruit if it's not in heavy syrup. So, some of you are like, hey, I just eat mine off the vine. I don't even know why you would do something like that. But anyway, put it all together, it becomes something incredible, and that's what the church is. There are different parts that are unique and special and some that on their own, like, things wouldn't even work, but you put them together with others and it becomes this really cool thing. And some parts are like, you know, and we'll talk about this in a little bit, not that God sees you this way, not that we should see each other this way, but society sometimes looks at some people like, well, they don't belong in here or they're different or whatever. And the church says, you know what, let's just bring them all together. Jesus says, they're all going to fit. They're all going to have a unique part. And they come together in this beautiful thing that becomes a fruit salad, and it is tasty together. If you don't agree with the tastiness of fruit salad, just go with me on this. But every part is unique. Every part is special. And it comes together and makes something even better. And I want to talk about that this morning as we continue this church club series, which, of course, church is not a club. And here's this week's point. As we look at this comparison between a club and a church, in a club, people see each other at the meetings. Maybe that's once a month. Maybe it's once a week. They see each other at the meetings. But in the church, people are in each other's lives. The church is a fruit salad. We are all mixed together. We are packaged together. We are put together into the same container. We are the same. We are put in the same cup as a fresh fruit salad. You know, it is all together, mixed together. And that is the difference between a club. Because I think sometimes people have this idea that, oh, I showed up on Sunday. Check. That's what God wants. And showing up on Sunday is not church. Showing up on Sunday is attendance. You do that at a movie theater too. Like, you do that at a football game. We are. Okay. It's not this idea of just showing up. It's about being in each other's lives. And this is something, and I don't know, I mean, I could give you church history and talk all about what happened, especially church history in America. But the short version is American church over the last 150 years or so has turned this idea of being in each other's lives into attendance, into showing up on Sunday, and that is church. And I just want you to know that's wrong. That's a club, and this isn't a club. We are in each other's lives. And so this idea of like, oh, I left that church. Why? Well, they wanted me to hang out with other people. No, you were never in that church. Do you understand? Church is being in each other's lives. And so I want to look at this. We talked last week about how Jesus died for the church, that it's a club. There's no expectations. Jesus did it all for us to allow us to be a part of this club, this church. That's not a club, sorry. He did this for us. It's not like a club where there's initiation requirements. He did it for us. And I want to look at this passage in Romans chapter 12. And I want you to understand that Romans 12, we're starting in verse 9. At the beginning of this passage in Romans 12, this chapter, Paul is actually talking to the church about spiritual gifts and about the different parts that they play and how everybody has different gifts. As a follower of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has given you gifts to use for building up his body. Some of you are peaches and some of you are pineapples. Some of you are cherries. Some of you are what else we have? Pears. Some of you are bananas. And he says all these parts. Some of you are bananas. Okay. Maybe I'm bananas, I don't know. But all these things come together and become the church. So he just finished saying this, and then he continues on and says in verse 9, love must be sincere. He's describing the church. He says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope. Patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. And so here's this description, this explanation of saying, this is what the church looks like. When the church is using their gifts, when the church is the church, you are in each other's lives. You are connected together. And we have a word we use here, and it's not just our word, it's actually existed before I was alive. But the word is community. And this idea of community, of being connected together, and your prime groups, you're going to have a chance to talk about this more this week as they kick back off. But the root of the word community is common. It's something held in common. And we have in common Jesus. So I want to take a few minutes here and look at what does community look like? What is biblical community? What is Paul talking about here with this idea of the church, of being in each other's lives, of being connected together, of being in the mix, everybody having their part, everybody kind of fitting together, everybody working together, and being the church? Because it's very different from the idea of a club, which you show up, do your thing, maybe see people, hey, good to see you, and then you're gone. And that is not how the church works. So let's look at what biblical community is. First of all, biblical community is loving each other and doing what's best. And sorry, you can't really see that. That's Romans 12, 9 to 10. Loving each other and doing what's best. And so I want to talk about, we're going to look at this idea of what does love mean? What is love? How does that work? And we looked last week at this word love as well. And we're going to look at that same one and another word that means love this week. And it's this idea of loving one another, loving each other, and doing what's best. So if we are a church, if we are in community together, if we are connected, if we are in each other's lives, it means we love each other. It means we love each other. And that means the people that are bananas. And that means the people that are In my opinion, cherries. There's nothing really valuable in a cherry. Not in a person, but you know what I'm saying? That means we have to look at people differently and understand, how does Jesus see this thing? How does society see it? It's different. But we love each other and we do what is best. And that means a few things. The first thing here, let's look at this passage in verse 9 through 10. He says, love must be sincere. And the word love is this agape word we looked at last week, which means unconditional love. And unconditional love means loving without conditions. So that means those of you as followers of Jesus, everyone in this room, everyone in this world, frankly, that is a follower of Jesus, we need to love unconditionally. We need to love without conditions. And so that might mean, you know what, they act differently than I do. We still love them. They maybe even we don't agree on some of the gray areas of Scripture. We still love them. Maybe they're Cowboys fans. We still love them. Because this is the idea of we're all in this together, and it doesn't matter. And that's the crazy thing about the church that's different from the world. Because the world says a club is people that are all the same. We're all the same. We are all fans of this. We're all One Direction fans, so we're in the One Direction club. Yeah, I heard it. And this idea, because they're all connected in that way, but the church is like all these different people, and we love each other. And he says, love must be sincere, and the word actually literally means without masks. So we need to unconditionally love each other and do it in a real way. We need to be real. And again, loving each other, loving unconditionally, being real with it. So what does that look like? He goes on and says, hate what is evil. Yes, we are told to hate. We're told to hate what is evil. And this word hate is not a gray word. It actually, it means to detest with horror. It has the idea of something that you are thoroughly so afraid of that you stay away from it. I just want to call out a couple of guys in this room who often send me little snake gotcha videos. I don't like snakes. Okay? And so if I see a snake, it depends, if I'm around, oh, it's cool, I'm okay with that. No, I'm really not. I've never actually done that around a snake that is far, wasn't in a cage. I don't even looking at them in a cage. They do this thing to me. And that's what this word means, to hate, to utterly abhor, to be afraid in horror, whoa, I hate this. And what do we hate? What is evil? And the word evil means something that is bad, that is malicious, that hurts, that tears down. So this fits together. He says, you need to be real in the way you unconditionally love each other. Because we're in each other's lives. And so that means when you see something in someone else's life that is tearing them down, that is hurting them, we need to hate that thing. We need to hate that evil, that malicious thing. And sometimes hating that thing is hard for the person to hear. I really like this thing that I'm doing. It's unhealthy. It's hurting you. I really like this attitude I have. It's wrong. We need to hate these things. And then he says on the other side of it, he says, cling to what is good. And the word good means the word literally means useful. What is helpful? So he says we need to unconditionally love each other because we're in each other's lives. And that means when I see you and you see me and you're like, hey, Sean, I see this thing in you. And I, because I love you, I need to tell you that I think that thing is wrong. It's hurting you. And I'd love to show you what is good, what is helping you. That's the church. That's what we do in each other's lives. And there isn't an issue of levels and superiority and inferiority. There isn't an issue of what side of the tracks you're from, what color your skin is, who you vote for, who you root for. It's the church. And so we come together and we love each other. And love sometimes means saying hard things. It means pointing out, hey, this is something in your life that's a problem. And I'll tell you what, I love that. That the elders, definitely, they've kept me accountable. My wife certainly keeps me accountable in a good way, and I'm not saying that in a bad way. But being able to call out things and say, you know what, you're wrong. This isn't right. Sean, your attitude needs to change. That's love. Because they hate what is evil and they care about me. They're clinging to what is good. Then he goes on and says, be devoted to one another in love. And this is a different word for love. This is the word that you may have heard of perhaps last year in the Super Bowl. But the word is Philadelphia. And it means brotherly love. And it's this idea, like, there's this unconditional love. I'm loving you without condition. It's just also, we need to be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Like, this is almost that, hey, I'm alongside of you in this. We're together. And I don't know what your family situation is like, and sometimes this is hard. But the idea of brotherly love really means, you know what? As much as you annoy me, we're family. That's this idea. As frustrating as you are, when we get together, the family picnics, you're still family. You have to say it like that, family. Now, Steph's not here. That's what this idea of brotherly love, like, you know what, we're still in this together. We need to love one another, honor one another above yourselves. And that's, again, the same idea of this love, saying, you know what, you are more important to me. So even though it might hurt me a little bit, and we talked about this in our fruit series, when it comes to challenging others and to pointing out sin in a loving way, in a kind way, in someone else's life. But we need to honor one another. And so he says, as the church, you have all of these gifts. You're all unique. You all play your part. You come together and make this wonderful fruit salad. And you need to love one another. You need to love each other and do what is best. And so that's part of it. And just, again, if you're looking for Sunday morning attendance to check it off of your list, this is the wrong place for you. Did you just say you shouldn't come to church? No, I just said you shouldn't attend a building. If you want to come to church, you're welcome to be in each other's lives and attend and love one another in that way. And that means doing what is best. The second thing that he talks about here with this church, of this community, of this being connected together, of being mixed together, this fruit salad, is that we need to be growing each other. We need to be growing each other. And this is one of those things where I don't know. I mean, it depends on your church background, maybe. It probably depends on your view of education. Maybe it has to do with the way you were brought up. Maybe it's what you saw on TV. Maybe you see, hey, there's that guy up front. He's the pastor, and he is so wise. He knows everything, and he is perfect. You're right about some of those things. That's probably the only part that's right. But this idea of like, oh, well, I'm not a pastor, so I can't help someone else grow. And I just want to break that down now. We are the church. And just because I'm up front doesn't mean I'm any different or more superior. Did I go to school? Do I have some education? Well, yeah, I do. So if you're like, hey, I'm not really sure how this works out, let's chew on it. Because guess what? I know it all. No, I don't know a lot of it. As they say, the more you know you don't know. But the point is that we can help each other grow. It doesn't need to be, oh, you better go see the pastor. He'll fix you, right? No, maybe you can be the one to help grow someone else and point them to Jesus. That's what he says then in verses 11 through 12. He says, never be lacking in zeal. Don't be, zeal means energy, your excitement, your passion. But keep your spiritual fervor. Be excited about what God is doing in your life. This fervor, this spiritual passion, this excitement. As the church, he's saying, together, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. He says, look, people, as the church, come together. Let's help each other grow. Let's point people to Jesus. There's this passion, and so if you come alongside, and this is, we'll eventually get there when we talk about prime groups, but that's the reason. You're able to rub shoulders with someone, and you get to know how they feel. Like, I can look out in this room right now and get a sense of where people are. A sense. There's Gene, he's waving at me. That's where he is. But, come on. What mask are you wearing right now? What are you thinking about right now? You might be like, I'm looking really down. And maybe it's because you're a Pitt fan. Like, maybe okay. Or maybe you're feeling down because something awful just happened. I can't tell. I don't know what's going on. Maybe you're happy and inside your life is falling apart. But when you're connected, when you're in community, when you're rubbing shoulders, when you're together in each other's lives, then you get to know and then you can help each other grow. and point people to Jesus. The Bible talks about spurring one another on toward love and good deeds, helping each other grow. That the church, when we're in each other's lives, it's not a matter of, well, you better show up on Sunday. And I was just talking to someone about this the other day. I mean, how many times do you sit in this room, and I have totally done this myself, so I'm not calling you out. You don't need to raise your hand. But how many times have you sat there and gone, wow, I hope they're listening because they really need to hear this. Or I hope so-and-so is here because they should really hear this. Or too bad they're not. And we have this idea of what somebody else needs to grow. And they better show up on Sunday because then they can grow. We grow together. We grow each other. Iron sharpens iron. We help each other become more like Jesus. That's what the church does. And we all have different roles and different ways we do that. And sometimes it might be, hey, let me teach you a Bible passage. Sure. It might be, hey, let's discuss this in a prime group discussion. It might just be, hey, can I pray for you? Because that's what he says here. Be faithful in prayer, joyful in hope, patient in affliction. All these words are saying, let's keep pointing people back to Jesus. Because MC3 will not change you. MC3 will not save you for eternity. But Jesus will. And Pastor Sean Fitch, I got nothing except for what the Holy Spirit is in me speaking through me. And you've got nothing except for what God is speaking through you. But if we point people to Jesus, He is the one that can heal. He is the one that can help. He is the one that can provide, that help you. Like, it's this whole thing. And that's what the church is. That's what community is. That's why we're all connected together. We're this fruit salad, and together we become something that's pretty good, pretty tasty. So, loving each other and doing what's best, growing each other and pointing to Jesus, serving each other and offering grace. As the church, too, being in each other's lives. Like, I kind of made a joke last week about how people call this the worship service. Can I be honest? I mean, the band was up here, I can say they're serving, and we've got some other people serving. Right now, most of you aren't serving. You're not. You're sitting, listening, observing, hopefully growing, something like that, but not serving. And this idea of, like, we can show up on Sunday and serve. No, and again, I'm not saying that there is no value in what the ignition workers are doing, the sound guy. I mean, all of those things are so important. We're going to talk more about that in 2 weeks. But you can't serve one another sitting and looking at the back of their head. You have to be in their lives. And the way you get to know what needs they have is by being in their lives too. And being connected and being in community. That's what the church does. And he goes on here in verses 13 to 14 and says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. Pretty straightforward. If someone has a need and you see that and you know that need, help meet that need. And we'll talk about that again as we look at Acts chapter 2. He says, if there's a need, meet the need. Help them out. How do you know if there's needs? Because you're in each other's lives. Again, you can't look around at the people that are here and see what needs they have. You can look at my kids and say, oh, those poor children need pants. It's cold out. At least my boys. Where did you get your pants? I thought they were still in the basement. Anyway, but no, it has nothing to do with us. It's just that we haven't gotten the winter clothes out because winter came yesterday. Like, you know, because you can't really tell is what I'm getting at. But when you get in each other's lives, you can say, oh, wow, you have that need. I can help you out. And we start to realize that this whole thing comes together in this beautiful, tasty mix. And we can serve one another. He says, share with those who are in need. Practice hospitality. Be welcoming. Be caring for people. And it's not just because you open your home, which is helpful. But just this attitude of saying, hey, you belong here. You belong as part of this thing. And then he goes on and says, bless those who persecute you. And he's still talking to the church. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. And what he's saying here, just the quick summary. You know what? We all have rough edges. We all can grate on other people. Sometimes we have bad days. And not that that's a good excuse. Sometimes we've been raised to respond in certain ways to certain things. And sometimes because of that, we can just And again, maybe it's just a momentary comment. Maybe it's just a constant kind of, you know, personality conflict that grates on each other. And the world, those outside of the church, are like, oh, you know what? I'm done. See ya. You bother me, so I'm just going to shut you down. I'm going to block you on Facebook. I'm going to call you out. Whatever. But here, Paul, talking to the church, says, you know what? If they persecute, if there's a hard thing here that happens, just, let's say, give them the benefit of the doubt. Just extend grace to one another. Because you would want that too. Because you've got rough edges. I've got rough edges. We say things, we do things the wrong way. And we should certainly be ready to apologize, ready to ask for forgiveness. But just as the church, we need to go, you know what? I'm going to give you the benefit of that. I'm not going to curse you. I'm not going to, which doesn't mean like, you know, some kind of lightning bolt on your forehead or something like that. But just this idea of going, I'm not going to hurt you. I'm not going to tear you down. I'm not going to wish bad things on you. The word blessed means to speak well of, to ask God's favor upon. So if someone hurts you, someone tears you down, Paul says, look, just ask, do the opposite. Ask God to bless them. Ask God to help them through whatever the situation may be. And on the opposite, at the other end of the spectrum, don't curse them. Don't wish against them. Don't hope that they suffer or fall. Extend grace. And that's this idea of serving each other. And we serve each other by extending grace, too, because we're not all perfect. And we need someone to say, you know what? You're in a rough spot right now, but I'm going to be the bigger person. I'm going to be here for you. That's what being in each other's lives is all about, too. That's being connected in community. That's being in this fruit salad mix. So it's loving each other and doing what's best, growing each other and pointing to Jesus, serving each other and offering grace. And then finally, being, and this is in quotes just because it kind of sounds weird, but it's what the church is. But being each other and sharing life together. Like, again, American church, I mean, it is what it is. Here we are today. But it's not what it looked like originally. They didn't show up and sit in rows and face forward. Andy Stanley, who we've heard, you know, video teaching and stuff from before, he always talks about the importance of circles rather than rows. Because circles bring people together. Rows just kind of draw some separation. And the church isn't a matter of just sitting. The church is a matter of being each other, being so into each other's lives, so sharing life together that I don't even need to ask you, how can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I pray for you? Because I know. And not some mystical, weird thing. I'm just with you. I know what's going on. You get to know each other by being connected to each other. And when you're in that salad mix together, all the pieces come together and you become one. Like, usually, a good fruit salad, you don't start picking out the parts you don't like. You're just like, this is good. And again, for me, there are fruits that I would eat in a fruit salad that I would never eat on their own. But put them together, and there's something that I'm like, yes, this is all in the mix. It's all together. So it's sharing life together. And this is the verse that the kids are learning upstairs. Of course, they're learning this passage, but specifically this verse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. What does that look like? That looks like you are so connected. You are so in community that when someone else succeeds and you don't, get that. This isn't like they succeed and it brings you along with it. When someone else succeeds, you can be excited for them. When they get that job, you can be excited. When they get that promotion, when they have that child, when whatever it is, you rejoice with them. Why? Because it's community. Because you're in this together. Because you're one with each other. And then mourning with those who mourn. and being able to say, you know what? I hurt just as much as you do for what you're going through. Why? We're not related. I guess we kind of are. But because we're in this together. And I can shed tears for someone that I've only known for 10 years, 12 years, 18 years. I don't even know how many years it's been. Because we're together. We rejoice with those who rejoice. We mourn with those who mourn. We are the church. We are connected to one another. We are in each other's lives. It's not a matter of just showing up and saying, yep, did my thing and I'm out. You did not do your thing. You did something, but it wasn't church. Church is together. Church is in each other's lives. Church is this mix of fruit salad that's combined, that is incredible. And then he goes on and says, live in harmony with one another. And honestly, I think the NIV does not a very good job. But this word means, and it's two words actually. It is the word phronio, which means to have a mindset. And another word, the Greek word that is autos or auto, which means the same or self. And this word means this idea of living in harmony means you're thinking the same way. You have this same mindset. You're not different. You might look different, act different, smell different, and all that stuff from the outside, but you are one. You are connected. You have the same mindset with others, with the church. He says, live in harmony with one another. Be connected with one another. And this is the cool thing. He says, do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. And this is, and again, our society has made all these different standards and rules and guidelines and parameters. And you know, like Ohio State fans aren't very popular in this part of Pennsylvania. It's just the way it is. I don't even know why anyone would be an Alabama fan. But you know, like you understand, like there's all these different standards. Well, what job do you have? Oh, here's, I work in this kind of, this area. Oh, well, I'll still, you know, be your friend. What, like, or what position do you have in the company? Where's your office? Do you have a window office? I mean, just all these different things. And we are so quick to draw all these lines and standards and rules for what's right and who's in and who's out and why they're the same and why, you know, why they don't belong and why we are all together and we're cool. But until you do something that offends me and then makes me like, oh, well, I'm going to, like, no, the church is like, no, I'm done with that. We are all in this together. No matter what your stage in life, no matter what your skin color, no matter what your occupation, no matter your age, no matter your gender, this is the church. We are one. And so he says, don't be proud. Be willing to associate with people that the society might say, well, you know, you probably shouldn't hang out with them. Because that was a serious issue with the Pharisees, with the leaders of the religious groups when the church was formed, when the church kind of came together. Let me tell you all the people that I won't be a part of because I'm so great and mighty. And Paul says, no, we need to be able to be connected. Don't be conceited. Be together. Be in each other's lives. And so that's what community is. That's what the church is. That's what this is all about. It's about being in each other's lives. It's about being connected to each other. It's about loving each other, serving each other, growing each other. Flip that around. Being each other. And you're going to have a chance to talk about this again in your prime groups this week. And what does that look like? How does that, how do we love each other in practical ways? How do we grow each other? How do we serve each other? Because that looks different. Those things change the way they kind of happen. But the principle doesn't. Because we're the church. We're a fruit salad. All the pieces fit together and become this incredible, wonderful thing. In a club, people see each other at the meetings. In the church, people are in each other's lives. And please, because this is fighting the tide of what American church is. And it's American church isn't like this row thing as it isn't church. Which brings us to our napkins that we looked at last week. And if you weren't here last week, we've talked about this, what we call the C3 process. Jesus said to make disciples. make followers of Him. And this is, as a church, how we do it. And we talk about these three C's: community, congregation, and caring. And how all these come out of Acts 2, which I'll get to in just a second. Hold on with me. And at the same time, we're told to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as ourselves. And how all these things kind of fit together to become who we are as a church. And as I shared last week, it comes from this passage in Acts chapter 2. Because we said, hey, if we're going to start a church, if we feel like God is leading us to do something different for the next generation of this community, of Mifflin County, let's look at how the original church, how the early church started. And it comes out of this passage in Acts chapter 2. And again, if you weren't here last week, you can go to mc3church.org, click on Listen to the Point, and listen to last week's church club, which was called something, the first week of church club, whatever last week's date was. But we saw in this passage that these people, this early church, devoted themselves, and some of the things they devoted themselves were to fellowship, which means being in each other's lives, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. They were focused on community. They were sharing meals together. They were praying together, as we looked at in this passage in Romans. And then a little bit later, it says they were all together and had everything in common. They were in each other's lives. And then it goes on there a little bit later. Next slide, please. And said they broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They were in homes. They were sharing. This early church, this church that started, and Jesus died and said, this is the thing now. This is the new thing I'm doing. You are the church. As followers of me, you are the church. And this is what the church looked like. And they spent time together in community. And so as leaders, we were like, okay, as a plant team, if we're going to be in community, what are we going to do? Let's be intentional about this. Not just that you should be in community with one another, but let's do something. So we developed this brand new idea called small groups. Not a brand new idea. We said, let's have small groups at MC3. And we call them prime groups because they're C to the prime, C1. And they are groups where you can meet together and be in community with other people. Because that's the other thing, too, is that you can't be connected really closely with 60 people, with 80 people. But you can with about a dozen. And if you're like, well, are we excluding other people? Jesus took 12 and he lost one of them. He was Jesus. I'm not saying he lost. You know what I'm saying. Like, he felt 12 was a good number. So I think it's okay if we say small groups are a good number, too. So we have prime groups here at MC3. And today they start, the first group meets tonight. And then there's some throughout the week. And I wanted to bring up Jason Donaldson, who is our prime group coordinator. And I knew I'd get him up here. So he's going to be teaching the rest of this passage. I'll get him up here one way or another, yeah. So go back to that one there for a second. Have a seat. Have a seat there. And here's your mic. You're going to go with mic number 2. All right. So what I wanted to do, I guess we just switched seats, didn't we?
Yeah, you told me to come over here.
I did, I know. Okay, I said that. It's my fault. I don't know if you've ever seen this guy. This is Jason. He's one of the elders here at MC3 as well. But he's our prime group coordinator. He's the one that does the administrating, the planning, the praying, the working with the leaders. And we have a prime group leaders meeting in about 20 minutes up in my office. There's training material that he works with the leaders each month to give them a chance to grow. I brought him up here so you could see him. And then we kind of have some interview. I want to interview him a little bit. Give him some questions, some things you might wonder about prime groups. And this is not staged at all. No, but just to give you a feel, like, what are some of the things going on behind the scenes? And so I'm going to ask him that. We've got like 6 minutes, so we'll we'll have fun with this. I guess the first question we're kind of looking at, like, what are some of the questions that the average person might ask about prime groups? The first one is, how do I find out more about the individual groups?
Well, that's pretty easy. We have our info table out there. There's information about prime groups and where to sign up. Then there's our website, mc3church.org/community. So there's a plug for that. You can talk to me, and you can talk to our prime group leaders.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Yeah. That's good. So, again, what someone's saying, okay, I'm interested in a group. Do I need to eat dinner before I come?
Well, I mean, you should eat dinner one way or another.
At some point. Fruit salad.
Well, it kind of depends on your group. Some groups eat dinner there. Some of them have plans to eat dinner before they show up. And then, there's usually snacks or something involved. But again, it just depends on that group.
So what you're saying there is unscripted. that there is no official schedule for what the groups must do.
Oh, no. It's up to that group to make it work the way that fits them best.
Okay. So, again, unscripted here. So that would also mean that maybe some groups will fit better with some people than other groups would.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Sometimes it just comes down to the day of the week that works for them.
All right. Well, then, other questions. Are my kids welcome?
Absolutely. Yeah, we have lots of kids at MC3. It'd be hard to do anything without including kids. And
okay.
We should do that.
And how does that work? Like, do they have to pay for babysitting?
No. They can bring their kids along. Again, it just depends on that group and how they work things out. Some groups will put on a movie. Some groups, there are some older kids that kind of bring the younger ones with them and, you know, do things together. When the weather's nice, send them outside where you don't have to see it. No.
Miles away. Just start walking, kids. We'll see you in 2 hours.
Yeah. But that depends on the group and how many kids actually end up in that group.
Because I think those are some things that are helpful for people to know, because the groups are all different. And if you've been in the same group and you're like, oh, that was weird, or I didn't like how that worked, like, even the groups themselves change as the people in the groups change. And so there's kind of that process. Like, they're a small group. They're a collection. They're a group of people that are in each other's lives. And so if the group happens to be all older people with no kids, it would be weird to have a child care person there. So all those different things change. So that's just something to be aware of there. What else? Do I go to the same group each week?
You should find a group and you should stick with it.
Why?
Kind of like you were talking about earlier, you need to be able to take your mask off. And I think we all know what that means. We've experienced that before, that if you're bouncing around from group to group, you're not really connecting with people. You're not really experiencing community. You need to get to know people well, and they need to get to know you well for that to happen.
Okay. Were you going to say something?
No, that's okay.
But then I guess I'm going to jump a little bit to another question. What are the seasons and cycles, as we call them, seasons or cycles? I think that ties into what you just said there, too. What's that all about? Why do we have it that way?
Yeah. So we have a fall cycle, which we're starting now, winter cycle, and spring cycle. And when the next cycle starts up, that's totally up to you which group you go to. The groups may change. The locations may change. Your schedule may change. And so, with sports and things like that going on, you find the group that works best for you. And, that's totally okay and sometimes expected to change things up.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of the thing, too, is that we change the seasons, the cycles, that is, not so you have to jump from group to group. Because certainly the more time you spend with someone, the more connection you can get with them.
Right. You don't have to change groups. But you have the opportunity.
Right. But at the same time, if your schedule changes, we would rather have you switch groups than not go. Because you can't be in each other's lives if you're not connected. So let's go back to some of the questions earlier. How is this different from a Bible study or a typical small group?
I think the biggest thing is that they don't have a separate identity. It's not, just studying whatever topic comes up that week or whatever that leader chooses. It all comes back to what we learn on Sundays, what we learn on the point, and what that series is about. So it gives you the chance to chew on things a little bit more, to process what we've learned, and to study it.
Okay. And then we have one of the things, even if you want to maybe tie this together, the discussion guide, and then what a monthly schedule in a prime group looks like. Like, what is week one versus two, three, and four?
So week one is our family prime, and that family night is for us to get together and, hang out. It looks different each week, but the one thing that's consistent with that first week is that we don't have a discussion guide.
Yeah. For people to meet together as a group of people and not have to study the Bible.
Yeah.
Does Jesus still love them?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Just making sure.
So that's the first week. And then the other 3 weeks of that month would be discussion guide.
All right. Yeah. Do you want to elaborate a little bit on how that works? I mean, I know.
It's all right. I guess I'll say this about that family night. Sometimes that's an opportunity for us to serve other people. To do things outside of our group, much like we do with Fifth Sunday. That's kind of, that's the open-ended week of prime groups. And so maybe there's a need that arises within your group, and somebody's moving, somebody needs to put a roof on, you name it. That gives you the opportunity to just you know, that's a night you're meeting together anyhow. Let's go serve. Let's go help out. And then, again, the other weeks with a discussion guide, you know, just to break that down if you haven't been in a group before. So, again, we kind of break apart what we learned in the point, have a chance to, you know, just refresh our minds and what we learned. If you're the first night of the week, it's pretty fresh in your mind. If you don't meet until, you know, Thursday of that week, by then you maybe forgot some of those things. So we kind of break that back apart and, again, just have a chance to process that.
Yeah, and I will say is, you know, yeah. Why, like, and I'm answering a question that I'm asking, but, you know, why would you go to a prime group to do a discussion guide if you're sitting in here learning the same thing on Sunday? Isn't that redundant? Isn't that boring? Isn't that overuse? And being the one that writes the discussion guide and the one that teaches on Sunday, I want you all to know that this is, there's an application side of this. Like I said, you know, one of the things you'll be talking about is how do we serve one another? Well, that's going to look different in different groups. And I can't tell you what that looks like and have you walk away on Sunday morning going, oh, this is what serving must be. But it lets you really kind of put some feet to what we're learning. What does the application look like? How does that work? And having you, giving you a chance to be vulnerable. I mean, there's times where we're going to talk about some harder things. And if I say, hey, in the midst of this group, would you please stand up and share one of your deepest secrets? Please share some of the things you struggle with. You know, like, it doesn't quite work in a large group. You get to know people. You get in each other's lives. And that's what the discussion guide is really about. It's about discussion and application. It's not to relearn the same thing as much as put some feet to what's there.
Good answer, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you, Jason. So let's see what else. Talking about that, season cycle. Yeah, I mean, I think that's most of the questions. Just for you and for everybody to be aware of here, I mean, what would you say as prime group coordinator is the biggest need for prime groups right now?
Well, I mean, as you mentioned earlier, kids are welcome at prime groups, and so sometimes we have a lot of kids in a group, and so having somebody available to babysit and do childcare can be huge. And we've even had some groups in the past who they kind of decided as a group, let's pay for somebody to come and babysit, but you know that doesn't always work out because you know the financial cost of that. So if anybody feels gifted in that area or like we're looking for a way to serve, that's something that you could do. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have a need for host homes where we have a potential leader, somebody who's willing to lead a group, but doesn't really have the space to house them. So having a home available sometimes helpful. I mean, even things like, you know, paper supplies and, you know, snacks and things like that. It's, food tends to be related to fellowship, and so, you know, sometimes that's a need.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, well, so, and that's a bit of a some of the stuff, the taste, I guess you could say, of what goes on with prime groups, what they look like. You know, if people show up, do they have to stand at the door and show their ID or pay an entry fee or anything like that?
No.
Okay, good answer. No, the point is, like, it can be a little bit intimidating. Why don't we do this? I have not asked them to do this, but just so you know what some of these people look like, because, I mean, Kirk, you know, because he was up front, and he is kind of scary, but he is an amazing dancer. But Kirk, could you stand up? This is Kirk Gensel, and I should go in order here, but this is Jason. He loves this right now. So, Jason Fetters, can you please stand up? Jason is he is leading our Sunday night prime group. Kirk is leading the second Tuesday night prime group. Gene Bennett, would you please stand up? That is Gene. He is leading the first Tuesday night prime group. And John is back there in the sound booth, and he is leading the Thursday night prime group. We have four groups right now. We would love to add some more. Definitely, they're getting full. But these are the guys. These are the guys leading the groups. Their wives are a huge part of what's going on, so it's not fair for me to just say these guys. I don't want to say that. But so you look at them. They're not even that scary. I mean, if Jason took his Alabama hat off, you could even talk to him. But these are the guys that are leading the groups right now. And these change. We've had different people leading different groups. But we would love to see you plug in. And even right now, if you're like, hey, can I talk to you about the group? There's a lot of flexibility. There's a lot of things that change and happen in the groups. So there's a lot of things that we can't even from up front say, this is what it's like. Because the groups are unique and different. So you guys can have a seat. But that's basically it. That is what community is all about. In a church, people show up. Hope to see each other in the meetings. In a club, people see each other in the meetings. But in the church, people are in each other's lives. And that's why we have prime groups, so that you can be in each other's lives, so you can care for one another, so you can love one another, so you can serve one another, so you can grow together as followers of Jesus. So I could really put you on the spot, but I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray right now, and then you guys can connect. Okay. Father, thank you so much for what you were doing at MC3. Thank you so much for these leaders, for Jason, my brother here, willing to coordinate all of these prime groups, God. And this isn't about our ministry. This isn't about our thing. This isn't about MC3. This is about bringing your church together in each other's lives, in community, so that we can share and grow one another to become more like Jesus. And so I pray even for this week, for these guys and their wives that are leading these groups, may it be a powerful time of coming together as your church and being connected, being in community. And may this just be a step. And I pray for those that are maybe on the fence, maybe aren't sure, that you would just nudge them to take that step, to get involved, to be plugged in, to be the church, not just someone that attends on a Sunday morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.